Welcome to our regional chamber call. We're looking forward to having people join us. As you're joining, please note that we'll be taking questions at the end of the conference. You'll just need to dial 0 to get into the queue. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Regional Chamber Conference Call. We are thrilled to have you join us today. We'll be kicking off in just a moment. We do want to let you know that we will be doing questions at the end of our conversation today. If you'd like to submit a question, just dial 0 and the operator will get you in the queue. Again, we'll get started in just a moment. Welcome to our business community. We're thrilled to have you join us today on this regional chamber conference call. We are looking forward to listening to our speakers. We'll get started in just a moment. We do want to let you all know that you are all on mute, but we will be taking questions at the end of the call. If you'd like to get into the queue, just dial 0 and the operator will get you set.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins Chambers of Commerce, welcome to our town hall meeting on the Paycheck Protection Loan Program under the recently passed CARES Act. My name is David May, and I'm with the Fort Collins Chamber. Our three chambers have a long history of working together, and in that tradition, we are producing this town hall for the businesses in Northern Colorado. Our agenda this afternoon will include brief remarks by Mindy McLuhan and Jamie Henning of the Loveland and Greeley Chambers, respectively, an overview of the Payroll Protection Program by Nicole Stottinger with First Bank, comments by our panel of lenders, and then we will open the lines for you to ask questions. This call is being recorded, and a link will be posted on the websites of the three chambers. So let me now turn the call over to Mindy McLuhan with the Loveland Chamber.
Thank you, David, and welcome, everyone. As you know, this is a tough time for us all, and our chambers are doing everything we can to keep you going. The chambers come at this all differently, but basically we're focusing our work in four broad areas. First, in pushing customers your way. Our goal here is to keep some income flowing into your restaurants and other businesses so you can continue to pay your bills and employ people. Second is communicating relevant developments about government orders and COVID-19-related news affecting business. Thirdly is advocating for public policy relief by identifying ways local government can better support area companies. These aren't normal times, and as government places health-related mandates on you, we advocate for things they can relax, like tax payment deadlines and signage and other regulations. And fourthly, we're providing you with information about assistance and resources to help keep you liquid. The government response to this health crisis has crushed the economy. In response, there have been business relief programs created, and our chambers are acting as major conduits to businesses about how to access these programs, which leads me to today's topic, the Payroll Protection Program under the CARES Act. So now let me turn it over to my peer, Jamie Henning, with the Greeley Chamber.
Thanks so much, Mindy. I appreciate it. Congress has passed several laws related to the COVID-19 response. Last week, we briefed you on the CARES Act with a representative from the U.S. Chamber. This week is about a piece of that law, a loan program called the Payroll Protection Program. Under the PPP, the SBA lenders began accepting loan applications last Friday. The conversation today is to provide you with information to help you navigate the process. To start the program, it's my pleasure to introduce Nicole Stottinger, president of First Bank Northern Colorado. Nicole manages 8 branches of First Bank in Northern Colorado, including branches in Fort Collins, Loveland, Windsor, and Greeley. She has over 20 years of experience in banking. Nicole, the floor is yours. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate everyone being on the phone call today. I've been intimately involved in running First Bank's company-wide program for the Paycheck Protection Program. I'm sure I'm not just speaking on behalf of myself, but all of the banking community and for sure all of the bankers on the line today, that we are honored and also feel the supreme urgency to help facilitate the application and funding of these loans through the PPP program for our business community. I've been really proud of the response of the U.S. banking system. We've set up and rolled out a $350 billion loan program in unprecedented speed as the U.S. Treasury Department issued final rules last Thursday. I was asked to give a quick overview of the program. I just want to give you a couple highlights. The Colorado Bankers Association yesterday disclosed, as of late yesterday, there was about $70 billion in PPP funds approved by the SBA via 275,000 loans, and that's been facilitated by 3,200 lenders. So that's just an update of where the program is right now. The program in general, the Paycheck Protection Program provides small businesses with funds to pay up to 8 weeks of payroll costs, including benefits. Funds can also be used to pay interest on mortgages, rent, and utilities. Funds are provided in the form of a loan that will be fully forgiven when used for payroll costs. And 75% of the loans can be, or 75% has to go towards your payroll in order for you to get that full forgiveness. Loan payments will be deferred for 6 months. These are two-year loans, no fees to you, no personal guarantees, 1% interest rate. And if the full portion is not forgiven, the remaining balance gets amortized over the remaining two-year period. Just want to reiterate that the small business is not charged any fees for this. Forgiveness is based on the employer maintaining or quickly rehiring employees and maintaining salary levels. So it's important that these are funds that help support payroll. Eligibility, small businesses with 500 or fewer employees, including nonprofits, self-employed individuals, are all eligible. Businesses with more than 500 employees are eligible in certain industries. That's something that you would want to reach out to your banker to discuss. From a First Bank perspective, we started Saturday taking applications, and we've received over 13,000 applications. We've currently approved and have SBA authorizations on over 7,000, and we're working on the remaining 6,000 in the pipeline right now. And we're actively working on funding the first part of those, which should happen this week. To sum it all up, I just want to encourage business owners to reach out to your current bank that you bank with right now or your credit union. Your current banking relationship and your banker would be in the best position to assist you, as they've already verified that you're a customer and that you already meet certain regulatory documentation requirements, such as Know Your Customer and Bank Secrecy Act guidelines. And this will be the fastest way for you to facilitate getting these loans, and it allows the process to work more quickly. I know that we'll have some more specific questions, and looking forward to hearing how we can help everyone on the line today. Thanks.
Nicole, thank you for teeing up this topic for us. Now we have a panel of lenders to share some comments with you about the loans and the loan process. Before going to the panel, though, I want to correct something that was said during last week's call. One of the callers had heard that the First National Bank wasn't a certified SBA lender, and that's not correct. First National Bank, like most of the other lending institutions, is an SBA lender. Kind of a 7A and all the other programs. So anyway, I just wanted to correct that. With us on the panel are Deb Kelly. Deb is with Independent Financial. Brian Watkins, Elevations Credit Union. Stephanie Tubner with Blue Federal Credit Union. And Sean Ostoff with Bank of Colorado. And Nicole will be on the panel as well. We appreciate you making time for us. I saw a quote earlier this week from a guy I really admire, Ryan Schaefer with NAI Affinity, and he said, lenders are the economic heroes right now, working with landlords and businesses alike while carrying the workload for the SBA. And so to our lenders, I echo that sentiment. We appreciate you making time for us and for what you're doing right now. We'll have each of you provide an insight from your perspective about the PPP loans. And maybe to start, you know, where does a business or a nonprofit apply for a PPP loan? What terms are you seeing? When would repayment begin? What kind of collateral, if any, do businesses need? And maybe each of you take a couple of minutes to share some of your comments. So maybe we could start with you, Stephanie.
You bet. I think, and thank you, everyone. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to speak to this. Not terribly different from what has already been described. There is no collateral required for the loans. We too are offering them. And, you know, truthfully, I think the intent is to get money back into the communities, and that's what our objective has been. We are trying to encourage our members to apply online. However, we will assist and support in whatever we can, in ways that we can. Depending on the organizational structure, and I'm guessing the other lenders have the same experience, you know, the requirements to justify and prove the compensation varies a bit depending on what kind of an organization they are. So, but typically we're trying to make it as easy as possible for our members to access the funds. You know, the guidelines are pretty straightforward: 2-year repayment, 6-month payment deferral, if you do not qualify for the forgiveness within the 8 weeks. I think there's still some guidance to come regarding how that forgiveness will be handled by the SBA. So I know there's a lot of financial institutions waiting for guidance on that, but that's really my take on where we're at with these loans, and we too are having tremendous requests. So hopefully that's
Yeah, helpful. Great. Thanks, Stephanie. That's great. So, Deb?
Yes. Well, thanks for having me. As Nicole and Stephanie have all already mentioned, we're happy to be a part of this call, really happy to help all the business owners. It's been an interesting week for sure. We're kind of building the plane as we're flying it, I would say. But we at Independent Financial have been authorized for $120 million in SBA financing. We currently have about 600 million in applications, 4,000 applications to date. As Stephanie and Nicole said, no collateral, no guarantors. We are starting to get some requests from 1099 employees, and that's something that we're able to do as well. Those are actually going to open up on Friday, April 10th. I think the SBA just decided to just wait on those because there'll be a lot of those individual people looking for these loans. We started processing on Friday. Most of our lenders have been working through the weekend, and we also have the ability to have our customers apply online. We do, however, encourage them to try to contact a branch because then our lenders are reaching out with a little bit more information than just the application. We actually have a very nice addendum that helps the borrower determine what type of loan they should be getting, where to include the rents, the utilities. So it's a really great form, and then they can move into the application a little bit easier. There is a lot of information out there, so it can be quite confusing, but I feel good about the forms that we've been able to help folks fill out these applications and then provide the information that the SBA is looking for, because there is a lot, and it's kind of tough to narrow it down, but
We try to put it in a real concise three different forms, complete those, attach what the SBA is looking for, and then we're ready to rock and roll.
Great. Thank you, Deb. Brian Watkins with Elevations.
Yes, thank you, David. You know, first of all, I want to really thank all of our leadership at the regional chambers for stepping up in this time of need. We truly appreciate all your efforts in providing resources and being a connector for all of us, you know, during this incredible time. But with that being said, you know, the first thing that I would like to do is I would like to direct, you know, our membership and those interested in the programs that we have at Elevations to our website. That website is elevationscu.com. Our website is updated very frequently with information not only pertaining to our participation with the PP program, but also, you know, with some other important information that we're doing community-related, you know, to support those in need. At this point, I am very happy and very thrilled to report that Elevations is approved for the PP program. We just got approval within the last day or so, and you know, as you all might expect, you know, we're drinking from the fire hose, trying to implement our processes and procedures as fast as we can. Obviously, we realize that this program is essential for our membership, and you know, we're trying to do everything we can to you know, get the money out as fast as possible. But in terms of the process, you know, we have also devised several worksheets, calculation worksheets that the membership can use to determine the eligibility amount of their loans, and also provide information in, you know, regarding the documentation to support the request itself. We're also adhering to the letter of the program, no collateral, no personal guarantees, you know, for our programs as well. And not to be redundant, but, you know, obviously from a repayment period, you know, the amount not forgiven is, you know, spread out over 2 years of payments. The interest rate is 1%, and of which, by the way, the first 6 months on the repayment can be deferred as well. So without being too redundant, I'll pass it back to you, David, and, you know, we'll look forward to questions.
Thanks, Brian. And then our last panelist is Sean Ostoff with Bank of Colorado.
Thanks, David. I won't repeat anything others have said. Our information is out there on the website for Bank of Colorado. And some of the important forms that customers will need are the forms 940, 944, 941 for 2019, and then your payroll reports by month with corresponding bank statements so that you can track your payroll and come up with your calculations. The calculation is basically the average monthly payroll over the past year or the for 2019, less those that are making over $100,000. So if you're making $125,000, we'd subtract out the $25,000. FICA taxes cannot be included. And then you divide by 12 for your monthly payroll cost, multiply by 2.5, and that's pretty much your loan amount. If you have questions, obviously, any of the banks would be happy to help you, as well as there's guidance at the SBA website or the Treasury website for borrowers. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, David. Thank you.
Yeah, let me stick with you, Sean, because you were getting into the second question I was going to ask of the panel, and that was what kind of information, documents do people need, which you shared some of that, and then what kind of tips to make the process go easier? So somebody, a customer of yours calls and says, I'm wanting to apply for a loan for this program. What makes it easy for them and for you to get this processed?
Yeah, I'd say the most important information is to have good payroll documentation. And your tax forms, I find, are the best because you can look at the gross payroll number and you can calculate backwards from there. And then the other important thing is to be able to identify those that made over $100,000 and to be able to subtract that out easily. But that's the first and foremost. The application is pretty straightforward for the customer to fill out, and then they've got some attestations they've got to make in the application and then submit that to your lender. And that should be pretty much the key documents you'll need to get the loan process started, and then if there's more information the lender needs, they'll let you know.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sean. So, Stephanie, with Blue Federal, anything you'd add to what Sean just provided to the group as far as making the process easy? What do people need to provide?
You know, I think he did a terrific job explaining. I don't know that I would have anything to add other than we are asking just for patience from our members, and I'm sure everybody's asking for that because of the volume and the time that SBA also has to process as well. So because there is such tremendous just, you know, volume throughout the country, and so, you know, it's not as quick maybe as our members were hoping, but we're just asking for their patience to get that funded and get the process going. So that would be my biggest thing, is that we're there to help. We're doing everything we can. So just a little bit of patience.
Yeah, good. Thank you. So following up, Nicole, with the point that Stephanie just made, how long from the point that somebody gets a loan approved to when they can see a check in their checking account from the government?
Yeah, thanks, David. The U.S. Treasury has asked all banks right now, the mandate or request is for that funding to be out 5 days from application. However, to be frank, that is something that the banking community has had to have discussions. We're asking for some patience and leniency there. We have stood up our application platform, moving approvals through the SBA system, and are frantically working on funding because we know how urgently needed these funds are, but I think that is still to be determined. I can only speak for First Bank. We're hoping to start funding a portion of these this week, but as with all pieces of this program, it takes time to stand up the systems and processes to make sure it goes out. So I would echo what Stephanie just said, is we all here feel the plight of our business customers and know how absolutely critical it is that this funding is out the door. We're all have 24/7 teams working to do this. And we're hoping to be able to start sharing soon that funding's happening. But I don't have a specific answer for you, David. And I would be interested to hear if any of the other panelists had a different interpretation of that.
Yeah, let's start with Deb and Brian, whether you've got any additional comments, tips, and then maybe if you have any other insights on the timing, if you're hearing anything through your systems about when checks can be issued.
Well, David, I'll be happy to jump in. I guess, you know, circling back to Nicole's point, you know, obviously, you know, getting funding into the hands of businesses is, you know, is paramount. And, you know, obviously, you know, getting that done as quickly and seamlessly as possible, you know, will benefit everybody. We're in a unique situation where, you know, quite honestly, we're just beginning the process. So I can't answer in terms of, you know, what we've done currently in terms of funding. I know that in general there is a 5-day expectation out there, and you know, we would hope to adhere to that. But I would also suggest too, for our members out there that are interested in the program, you know, to work directly with their business bankers. That is a critical element to this whole equation for us. Our business bankers are going to be up to speed not only on our processes and you know, the procedures associated with the program, but they're also going to have you know, good knowledge of that individual borrower, and hopefully that will reduce the amount of information needed through the process, particularly for those members that currently have loans with us. You know, obviously we have a lot of the documentation in file, and we can streamline that process you know, for those individuals. Otherwise, you know, for those that, you know, are new to the lending process with Elevations, you know, we obviously are looking at, you know, the same process. The SBA applications, the worksheets that outlines the amount that they're eligible for. And as Sean alluded to, you know, income documentation, which, you know, depending upon the business, that might involve different documentation. So once again, you know, we really emphasize that you work directly with our business bankers in each market. those of you may know our business banker here in Larimer County and Weld County. That would be Nadine Trujillo Rogers, and she'd be a great resource, you know, for our members that are looking for additional information.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. So, Deb, I don't know if you had anything to add to any of that before I kick it open for question and answers.
Yeah. Just to echo what everyone has said, you know, we're hoping to fund at the end of the week our first applications we received last Friday. The critical piece, and I think everyone has already said this, but for everyone listening, the more complete the application package and to answer the questions on the application itself, sometimes they get kind of in a hurry and everything is a no, no, no answer. And then, like, number seven is the United States the principal place of residence for all employees of the applicant included on the applicant's payroll calculation? Well, folks are saying no because the previous questions are no. So they're kind of in a hurry to get these apps in because, as everyone knows, everybody's anxious to get the funds and to be able to get back to paying their employees. So just slow down, take your time. Answer the questions and get a good package, and that will help expedite the process.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much. So what I want to do at this time is we've got quite a few people on the call, and we want to open the lines for you to ask your questions. To do that, hit zero on your phone. Ann Hutchison will serve as our moderator, so it's not necessary that all five of the panelists answer questions, so Ann can kind of direct traffic there. We do ask you to be concise with your question, and please only ask one question so that we can fit in more callers. So, operator, I'm going to turn this call over to you to manage our questions, and Ann is going to moderate those the questions as they come in.
Thanks, David. We have Mary Elizabeth with our first question. Mary Elizabeth, you're live now if you'd like to ask your question.
Thank you very much. I understand that the particular lenders who are on this call are eligible, but are other credit unions or other banks also a part of this program? And do we have to have an account at those particular institutions?
This is Sean Ostoff. I'll answer that question. Every bank and credit union is eligible. Whether or not they choose to participate is up to them. Obviously, all the folks on the call here are participating. As far as whether you have to have an account there or not, that depends on the institution. We are asking that you have your account with Bank of Colorado, and if you don't, then we'd ask that you move your operating account and payroll account to Bank of Colorado.
Mm. Thank you.
You bet.
Great. Any others want to jump in on that and share some other thoughts?
Is this Deb with Independent Financial? It would be the same.
This is Nicole with First Bank. We would have almost the same thought around that. First Bank has over 100,000 commercial clients right now, and because of that existing bond, and to respect that relationship, we are prioritizing customers that bank with us currently. So a personal or business relationship is what we're looking at right now. However, we are continuing to refine our process and hope to be able to open that up to the broader community soon.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you, Mary Elizabeth, for your question. We're going to go to Lee Whitmore. You're now live on the call if you want to ask your question.
Yes.
Oh, Lee, you're cutting out. You want to try again?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I dropped off my loan package for the payroll protection fund last month at Independent Bank or Independent Financial, where I do my business banking. My question is, how long, maybe the Independent Financial spokesperson that you have there can tell me, how long will it take for the underwriting to occur, number one, for the loan? And then I know that federal the employer's portion of federal taxes from the employee's payroll, that we're not supposed to use the funds to pay for that. And I understand that when we do get a check or however it's coming, is it a direct deposit into our account, or does it wind up where we just get a federal check in the mail and then use it? And the other question is, the governor shut us down. I'm a chiropractor. The governor shut us, every chiropractic office across the state down on March 27th. So if and when I get the funds, do I have to pay my April rent since we're not open, and do I have to continue paying my employee the regular weekly salary even though they're not working? We have nothing that we can do.
Okay, Lee, lots of questions there. I'll let Deb start off with, again, when Independent is getting ready to hopefully release funds, and then I'll let the other bankers maybe jump in on some of those other questions you asked.
Thank you.
Hi, Lee. The intent is for all the businesses to hire their people back. And we're looking at a 2 to 3 process underwriting time. And once it's approved, the funding will actually be deposited into your checking account with Independent Financial electronically. Okay?
2 to 3 weeks, is that what you were saying?
No. 2 to 3 days of input processing, and then once we get approval, then you'll see. And do you know, Lee, I mean, I know lots of people are on the call, but whoever, hopefully you've made a connection with whomever you've turned the application into here at Independent Financial, and I would certainly reach out to that lender to ask where you are exactly in the process.
Okay.
And do you have the name, Lee?
Yes, I have my direct officer on my account is the one that I submitted the applications to.
Okay. And who is that, Lee?
Her name is Jamie Frost. She's at Loveland Branch.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yep. Does that answer all of your questions, or does anyone else have anything?
What I also heard Lee ask was exactly what these PPP dollars need to be spent on. So he was asking some questions about, he's not been in business for March. Does he need to use these PPP dollars to pay that March rent as well as payroll, and exactly at what amounts? Anybody want to weigh in on those?
You bet, Ann. This is Sean Ostoff. So it's very clear what the funds need to be used for. They can only be used for payroll, rent, utilities, mortgage interest payments. So 75% of the funds that are to be forgiven have to have been used for payroll, and 25% can be used for the other items I just mentioned. And it's the date of the timing of this begins as of the date the loan funds are dispersed for the following 8 weeks. That's the time period that the forgiveness calculation will occur over.
So it sounds like anything that was accrued before the release of the funds would need to be paid for with other funds. Is that what you're all understanding?
Correct.
Yeah,
those bills need to be paid during that 8-week period.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree, Ed. You know, Sean, Ed provided a great summary. You know, the intent of the program is to cover those specific costs, and obviously, you know, those funds should be spent accordingly.
Okay. Thanks, Lee. We appreciate your call. We're going to jump over to Rain. Rain, you're live on the call if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi there. Thanks for the Chamber putting this together for the City of Fort Collins. My question also pertains to the 75% that has to go towards payroll in order to be forgivable, and the rest would be 25% remaining, which honestly would probably be needed for rent and utilities. If the PPP is only doing 2.5 times our payroll costs, if that's still not going to meet rent and utilities, are there more funds that we could be eligible for?
Not through the Payment Protection Program. The Payment Protection Program is very specific. You'd have to look at another SBA program for some of the other costs, and that would be a different channel. But the Payment Protection Program is very specific.
Okay, one last question then. If we as a company, small business, did not apply for the EIDL first and applied for the PPP first, can we still go back and apply for the EIDL without causing any issues with the PPP loan application?
My understanding, this is Sean, my understanding is it's one or the other, and the only portion of the EIDL loan program that would be rolled into the PPP program, you can roll that into the PPP program, but again, for the forgiveness, it's only for the payroll and the rent, utilities, et cetera. But my understanding is you cannot have both loans outstanding, but maybe somebody else has a different thought on that.
You know, Sean, I would agree.
I'd agree, too.
Go ahead, Nicole.
No, sorry.
Yeah. I believe
I was just going to say ditto. Yes.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet.
Okay. I'm going to interject. Rain, I think that was your name. I just had one more suggestion that most banks and if you have a mortgage payment due or maybe a loan on your business due, and another one of the panelists today suggested that maybe you go and talk to your banker. I know banks and credit unions have been very engaged in loan deferrals in this period as well. So just trying to give you another line of thinking if you're trying to figure out how you survive this while your business might be shut down or reduced is to get with your banker if you have any outstanding debt out there.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Rain, for your question. Do want to remind folks that if you'd like to get into the queue, to dial 0, and you'll be put in contact with an operator to take your question. We're going to go next to Kevin Shaw, who has some questions about companies that are not corporations. Kevin, you should be live now.
Hi. Yeah, my question relates to we have I'm a CPA here in town, and we have clients that are not corporations. They clearly have payroll for their employees, but they are trying to take into account amounts that were paid to them as owners of the company, which usually came in the way of either draws or guaranteed payments. How are they supposed to be reporting these on the forms, and what information are you looking from them in order to justify the amounts paid to them?
This is Sean. I'll try to answer the question best I can because it's a little bit unclear in that case. And I assume you're considering yourself an independent contractor or sole proprietorship is my understanding of your question, correct?
They are, and it's not for me. I am a corporation myself, but for my clients, they are either sole proprietorships or sole member LLCs, or even multi-member LLCs, but as LLCs, they cannot pay themselves a salary by IRS rules. So they
right.
pay themselves as either a guaranteed payment or a draw.
Well, the guidance is lacking on that. I'll be honest with you, through the SBA and the Treasury, we do not have great guidance on that at this time. Our assumption is we're going to be working off their income statement and also the K-1. So if you're an owner and you've dispersed the funds to yourself, something like that, and possibly even for a sole proprietorship, even your profit and loss statement for the year. So that's kind of where we're going. Maybe some of the others have a different thought, but we are waiting for more guidance on that.
Sean, this is Nicole with First Bank. We are working through that as well, but following the same general response that you have, Sean, just for a sole proprietorship, looking at their income and expense tax returns to try to justify that.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks for the question, Kevin. Good luck. We're going to now go to Julia. She has some questions about folks with 1099. So, Julia, I'm turning you on right now. You're live, Julia, if you want to ask your question.
Thanks so much for this call, everyone. It's been informative, and I appreciate it. And in many ways, I probably follow up to Kevin's question. If I'm being paid as a contractor in some cases, and in turn I pay contractors, how will we, you know, how will this work for us? This is a lot of what Kevin is asking. You know, I'm unclear as to whether I should suggest some of these people should be filing for unemployment, because in one way that it said, will, you know, contractors would qualify for unemployment at this time. You know, we never get in on any kind of benefit, so we're all excited, and we want to understand how we can help ourselves. That's the first one. The second one is, and I think I heard you say you're not processing that until April 10th. And then lastly, did I hear there is no real relief for March? This starts April 1.
So this is Nicole. I'll take the first piece of your question. I think there's a few layers there. You had asked, I think in your situation, you had mentioned that you are a 1099. You have an own a business and you get paid. You're a 1099. That's how you get paid. And then you have your you have people that you pay through 1099. You use subcontractors. And I think there was initially some confusion out there about 1099 employees, if they were included or not included. You cannot include 1099 employees as part of your eligible payroll, if you will. They, because they're 1099, own their own business, so you should encourage them to go apply for their own funding based off of their own business. That's how they get their protection. For your specific business, what we would look at, it does open April 10th, and we would look at your tax returns, your profit and loss to try to determine how much you've made as a self-employed borrower.
So given the idea that business is not the same all the time, you know, I win a contract, I make money for 6 months until that piece of work is done, and then maybe I move on to another one, then historically information isn't necessarily, it doesn't really apply on a year-to-year basis, even for sure. So bank statements, things like that, is that going to help? And what if you haven't filed your taxes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm happy to help with that question as well. The legislation is fairly clear that you need to, what we would do is take a look at a rolling 12 months to take a look at what you've earned, and then we take your average earnings, and 2.5 of that monthly average earning is what you're eligible for. Then let's assume the loan gets funded. You have 8 weeks from loan funding in order for it to be forgiven, for you to prove that you've had eligible payroll, or 25% of it could also go to the other items like mortgage, interest, et cetera. So that's how the program would work. If in that 18-week period you're not able to justify that, then there could be a portion that's not forgiven.
So I'm actually concerned about the other direction, that I'm earning much more in the last several months than I had earned last year, for example.
You know, this is Sean.
Please,
I was going to say, for seasonal type work, you are allowed to look at a different process for determining your period of your payroll. So if you're seasonal in nature, and you, for example, say you weren't fully ramped up on February 15th of 2020, you can look at your 8-week period between February 15th, 2019, and June 30th, 2019 to help determine that. You also don't have to take the full amount that your tax returns or your profit and loss or or payroll taxes may indicate that you're eligible for it if you think your business is going to be slowing down and you're concerned about the amount of the forgiveness of the loan. So as Nicole said, what's going to be used to determine the amount of loan that you're eligible for is in the rearview mirror. What is actually going to be forgiven begins day one after the loan is disbursed for the next 8 weeks. So those are two things you've got to think about.
Okay. Good explanation.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Julia. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next person. I've got Ken. He's got a question about the mechanics of payroll spending for employees that are currently not working. And I'm turning you on right now, Ken, so you are live and able to ask your question.
Yes, and I'm reading between the lines here, between what some people have said. But is the payroll piece meant to pay employees right now while businesses are shut down, or pay employees when the business reopens? Because obviously there isn't work to be done right now in many cases.
Yeah, I'll jump in. This is Sean again. Yeah, so the it's kind of a twofold issue that I kind of mentioned in my previous comments, but it is to get people back to work and get people in their jobs. So if you're a business that may be shut down, for an example, a restaurant, you may want to delay the date that you actually take the funds to be dispersed. Now, you have until June 30th to actually fund these loans. However, guidance just came out today that says once loan's approved, it has to be funded within 10 days. So we got thrown a curveball today, and actually this information just came while we were on this call or about to start the call. So that threw us for a curveball because we were operating under the assumption that we could close these loans once approved up until June 30th, and then that time frame would start day one after that for the following 8 weeks. So if you were going to bring your employees back to work, that would be a critical thing to think about. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it is to pay for payroll from the date the funds are dispersed for the next 8 weeks, and that's what's going to be forgiven as well.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay, so the clock starts ticking as soon as the funds are dispersed.
Correct.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much for your question, Ken. Next, we're going to go to Bree, who's got a question about W-2 and 1099 employees. Bree, you're live if you'd like to ask your question.
Hello. Thank you, guys. Yeah, and I apologize if this is redundant, but as a business owner, I have both W-2 and 1099 employees. Now, I know that you guys have said that you're not eligible for the 1099, but as the employer, it is looped into my payroll costs. Am I going to be able to pay both my W-2 and 1099 employees?
Stephanie, would you like to jump in and answer that one?
Everyone's doing such a great job answering that. I think it was a little bit already answered, so you're not really being redundant. I think it's a complicated process for us to work through. And so I think to be more, I don't know that I'll be any more clear as anybody else at this point, but your W-2, yes. Your 1099, no. That's probably the most straightforward. But I would encourage you just to take all of your information in to see your business banker, just to clarify specifically what you've been paying and what you're hoping to cover, unless anybody else wants to offer. But that would be our take on it, is the W-2s versus the 1099.
Great. Any of the other bankers like to jump in there? Brian?
I would agree with Stephanie's comments. I would agree as well. To my understanding, W-2 certainly is eligible, but the 1099 site is not, to Stephanie's comments.
And
thank
just
you,
to confirm, what I'm also hearing from all of the bankers is if you are working with subcontractors that you are currently paying with 1099, you should be encouraging them to be applying separate from you for some of these funds. Is that what I'm appropriately hearing from all of our bankers?
That's correct.
You got it.
Great.
Thank you, guys.
Question, Bree. We appreciate it. We're going to jump to Mary. Looks like she's got some eligibility questions relative to this program. So, Mary, you're live.
Is that me, Mary? I'm not sure if you have the right Mary.
Yes, it is.
Am I live? Oh, okay.
Great. You are.
My name is Mary Rache, and I'm a restaurateur here in Fort Collins and throughout Colorado. Started in Fort Collins, and that's my only two operations I have left are here in Fort Collins for the past 29 years. I find myself in a huge predicament. My business is down quite a bit. Obviously, I'm only doing takeout and delivery, and I've tried to keep my kids on payroll as much as I possibly can. Unfortunately, I bank with Canvas Credit Union, who is saying they are not involved with the program or have been telling me that on a daily basis, and as of today, still no recourse. I did start checking into this pretty diligently because I work on a very, very slim profit margin and, in fact, have losses. So I have reached out to 17 banks and started reaching out to banks on the 31st and have been told that unless I'm a current client, they are unable to process my loan. I have contacted 17 banks in the last 10 days and have had no success at all. I am very concerned, and I'm just curious why, being such a longstanding community member, why I am unable to access this, because after 29 years, I will not make it probably another month without having the ability to access this PPP program.
Thank you, Mary.
Oh, and I've talked to every one of these banks that are actually on the panel, and I greatly appreciate everyone's information. I've been studying it diligently, but have felt like I've hit a brick wall every day, and I'm really concerned.
Hi, this is Sean. You know what? I'll be happy to talk to you offline and see if there's something we can help you figure out.
Okay, because I've offered to move my business accounts, and I've been told by most banks that maybe down the line when they're finished servicing their current clients that they may be open to this. But this is not an unending barrel of funds that is available. So I have been told that unless I have had business accounts beginning March 1st, that I was not eligible.
So, Mary, let's put you with Sean offline. If you would call me directly after this call at 970-218-2268, I'll get your information and connect you and Sean.
Thank you. And who am I speaking with?
This is Ann Hutchison at the Chamber.
Okay, Ann. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Mary. We'll get you hooked up. We've got time for just a few more questions. If you would like to, again, get in the queue, you just need to dial 0, and we will put you on the line. And Julia's been listening very carefully. I'm going to put her back on the line. She's got a question about funds running out and anxiety about, are these funds going to be gone before we all get there?
Yeah.
Julia, you're live.
Yes, there's lots of anxiety. I think we can hear that. So that is what I'm thinking about is, we were talking about the repayment period, and at first it was suggested that maybe you wanted to wait a little bit if you know, we're going to have to push that out. But in general, worried about money running out. I'm with the gal that just called. It's going to be hard to get money because us contractors, it is going to be hard. I can just tell you that right now. But we're going to try. So the question is, will we get through before the end?
Let's our way around the hoop here. Nicole, why don't you start off, and then we'll have each of you share an answer.
Yeah, Nicole? Great. I want to go back to the general remarks that I made in the beginning. I think everyone is concerned about the money that's available. There was $350 billion authorized as of last night. There's been $70 billion in loans approved through the Small Business Administration, so it is rapidly being used. Currently, yesterday, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin requested an additional $250 billion that has not been approved yet. All of the banks and financial institutions are actively participating with their Congress people and senators in making the case for more funding that's needed in our country to keep our small businesses alive. So just know from a lobbying perspective, we're very active in doing that. There is a piece of this also, you know, while this funding is made available and the forgiven debt comes from the U.S. Treasury, these loans are really being funded by the banks. So the individual banks have certain restrictions that they have based on their balance sheets and their liquidity program within each bank as to how much of this they can fund themselves. So it's a there's several layers there, but we are hopeful that more funding will be coming from the federal side.
No, that's a great summary, Nicole. I was just going to say that's a great summary, Nicole. I mean, the concern is certainly valid. You know, the fact that there is so much funding available, you know, for this program. And, we are, trying to lobby and work diligently to, hopefully gain some additional funding for the program itself. Once again, I would reiterate that, people please, reach out to their business bankers, to their banks promptly to try and get into the queue to get their applications in process. In addition to that, as one of the other lenders alluded to, most banks are being very accommodating when it comes to payment deferrals for mortgages, on leases, on consumer debt, and those types of facilities as well. So, please, reach out to, the institutions that you are carrying debt with and, try and work on some accommodations to support you.
Thanks, Fran. How about you, Stephanie? Any other words you have for Julia here?
Great information. I would agree that there's a lot of concern about the money running out quickly. And I think I do think that's a legitimate concern. I think that the president asking for another $250 billion is a positive. So the more that we advocate to our congressmen to approve that is going to be critical. And so I think that's all really positive. I also know that, there's some other facilities in the works where we potentially would be able to sell back some of these loans so that we can get them off of our balance sheet. And so I think the government's trying to do their part to ensure that as many businesses are served as possible. So lots of things in the works, but definitely a concern.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. Deb, any other comments you'd like to share?
I think everyone's covered it. I think it's encouraging, though. Everybody needs to be encouraged that there will most likely be additional funding. The outcry is pretty enormous, and I believe that everyone in Washington D.C. is committed to making sure that the businesses are funded and are able to continue and not go out of business.
Fantastic. Sean, you want to close it up for us? Last comments today?
They've covered it very well. I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Great. Thank you all for participating. We are out of time for questions. I'm going to turn it back over to David to wrap us up.
And thank you for moderating. We do have great banks and credit unions in Northern Colorado, so you can find a list of them on the website of the Loveland, Greeley, and Fort Collins Chambers. To our lenders that are on the call today, thank you again for making time to brief our members. We really appreciate the great work you're doing right now and taking time out to do this. I know was a bit of a sacrifice for all of you, so thank you for doing that. Again, the folks on the call were Stephanie Tubner with Blue Federal Credit Union, Sean Ostoff with Bank of Colorado, Deb Kelly, Independent Financial, Brian Watkins, Elevations Credit Union, and Nicole Stottinger with First Bank. Again, the recording for today's session will be linked on the websites of our three chambers. And on behalf of the Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins Chambers of Commerce, thank you for joining us today. Our program is now concluded.
All right, meeting's